5.
Would you find your place? Amen. It's good to see you. Good to see you, visitors. Good to see all of you here this morning. Do remember to pray for those that's not here. Let's pray that God would speak to our hearts this morning and God would help us. Some of you weren't here for Sunday school. I would encourage you to remember Brother Bobby Robertson, pastor of Gospel Light. Remember him in your prayers as well, as he's been diagnosed with a tumor on his brain. And the message I got yesterday was that the tumor has been deemed inoperable. So if you would, pray for Brother Bobby and pray for his family and pray for his church. They're at the Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown. I know they'd appreciate your prayers. Also pray for Brother Paul Sis. He had back surgery this past week. Pastor over in Mayadan, and then Pastor Gary Sisk. Did I say that right? No. Pastor Gary Stiers. Brother Gary Stiers down at Liberty Baptist Church had bypass surgery this week. So if you would remember those men of God in prayer, and I know that they would appreciate that. Well, if you got your Bibles in Proverbs chapter number 25, I want to read one verse, and I want to preach this morning a little different than I usually do. I know most time you've gotten used to most time that I just normally preach through a passage. Well, today I'm going to start out in this passage and I'm going to go with the thought of a subject matter, and we're going to look at it just in a topical fashion, and I want to preach on the subject that we find in Proverbs 25. In Proverbs 25, verse number 19, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Proverbs 25, verse 19, the Bible said, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken foot or broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Why should a Christian be faithful? Why should a Christian be faithful? I want to preach on this thought this morning, faithful. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. We need you. And I need you, and Lord, as we look into your word and we glean truths, and Lord, as the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, I pray that, Lord, you would challenge us, but not only challenge us, Lord, would you change us and help us to be sensitive and submitted to the word of God when you speak to us. Help us, Lord, for your glory. Do it all for your sake. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. As we look into this proverb, Proverbs 25:19, this proverb gives us a picture or similarities, two of them, of the person who is not faithful. The first picture we see is that of a broken tooth. And then he says of a foot out of joint. I don't know a whole lot about a foot out of joint. I do know that that word or that phrase, a foot out of joint, is a reference. It's a denotes a foot that is slipping or sliding. Many times we can think of a broken foot or a foot whose ankle is joint is out of socket. But it really has the idea of a foot that would waver or teeter, totter, we would say. A foot that would shake and slip and not have a good ground on where it's at. But the first part of that verse, or when he says that it's like a broken tooth. I can be real personal about that. When I was a kid, I remember I probably would be about 7 or 8 years old, and like most children at that age, I had a loose tooth, and I liked to wiggle that thing around and play with it. And so I wiggled that thing one day. I was sitting in church. I was in a church service, of all places, okay? Now, let me explain this to you. The church where we were at had a section like this, but on this side, it was some pews that kind of faced this way. And I was sitting in those pews facing this way, and my grandma was sitting in the pews facing that way, and so she could look at me right on from the side. And I wiggled that tooth and I wiggled that tooth until that tooth finally came out. That tooth was all the way disconnected. I took that tooth out. I had it in my hand. I had that tooth in my fingers. I took that tooth. I stuck it back in. I wiggled it around in between my teeth. That tooth popped back out. I pulled it back out. I played with that tooth. I stuck it back in. I'm just a kid now. Y'all bear with me. I stuck that tooth back in. Every time I would bite down on my bottom teeth, that tooth would kick out. That tooth would not hold up under pressure. And every time I would bite down, I'd pop it out, I'd pull it out, I'd look at it, I'd put it back in. After the service, my grandma went over to my mom. She said, Sue, that's my mom. She said, you better check on Travis. She said, I don't know if he's got a tooth left in his head.
Hey, that broken tooth that was loose, that tooth that was disconnected would not hold up when it was put under pressure. Every time the pressure came down from the top tooth, it kicked out. Solomon writes here in the Proverbs that we read, verse 19, and he said that a man who is unfaithful is like that broken tooth. He's like that foot that's out of joint. Every time he's under pressure, you can't depend on him. You're not going to be able to use him. You can't chew with him. You can't put any weight on him. We need a tooth that is firm in its socket. Can I get a witness? We need a foot that's not slipping and teetering and tottering and shaking out from where it's at. We need feet that are stable. We need tooth that is strong. Solomon said that confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I was reminded of the great, if you want to call it, New York Yankee great, Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio, years ago when he was playing ball, great ball player, after he was later in his career and his team had the pennant wrapped up, and somebody asked him one day, he said, "Joe, why are you continuing to play as hard as you're playing?" And his response was, "Because there might be somebody out there who's never seen me play. There might be somebody out there that's never seen me play." Can I say to you, church, there's people that's watching us. There's people that are watching you that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that you call yourself a Christian. They know that you say you've been saved, and they're watching you. And can I say, if for no other reason, there are other reasons, but if for no other reason, you ought to be faithful till death. Hey, because there's somebody watching you that may have not seen what a Christian looks like before, and you may be the only Bible they ever read. And so it pays for us to be faithful to God. When we look up this word confidence in our text, we would see that this word confidence speaks of trust or refuge, security, a sure and a firm hope or assurance. So he said that if you place your assurance, if you put a firm hope in an unfaithful man, if you put your confidence in an unfaithful man, it's going to be like biting down on a tooth that's broke or putting all your weight on a foot that is out of joint. Unfaithful. The word unfaithful, we know what faithfulness and unfaithfulness is. I looked it up. The word unfaithful here, it means to act treacherously. You say, "Well, I was just a little bit unfaithful." Well, to act treacherously, deceitfully. What did I do with that tooth that I illustrated with? I put that tooth in my, and I was deceiving someone. I was looking like I had a tooth, but when I put it down, that tooth would not hold up. Just deceitfully, treacherously. To act that way, deceitfully and treacherously, or to offend or to defraud. You understand, when you are acting unfaithful, living unfaithful in your Christian life, you are defrauding others. You are possibly going to offend others. You say, "Well, they shouldn't be offended at me." No, they shouldn't, but you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who you may be a stumbling block or a stepping stone to. To place confidence or assured hope in either a broken tooth or a foot out of joint could ultimately lead to disaster. Would your life, if others were watching you, if they were putting weight on your life, if they're looking at your testimony, if they are watching you, are they going to falter? Are they going to face destruction and disaster because they placed their weight on you and your foot was out of joint? Bob Jones Sr., great preacher, years gone by, he said this. He said, "The greatest ability is dependability." The greatest ability is dependability. He also said that the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. Somebody said, "Well, I served God, but so-and-so. I served God, but this person. I served God, but they did this." Hold on. You're not serving them. You're not serving man. If you serve God, you ought to be faithful to God no matter what anybody else does, no matter who else quits, no matter who looks at you funny, no matter who says something that's against you. Serve God and be faithful until you go home to glory. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim every man or everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" That's a good question in 2017. A faithful man, who can find? There's a lot of people who brag about what they do. They'll brag about their life. They'll brag about who they are and what they do. But the question is, a faithful man, one you can depend upon, one you can put your weight on, one you can trust and place confidence in, a faithful man, who can find? The word faithful here means to be established, trusty, trustworthy. To be the truth. Psalm 12, the psalmist asked a similar question. Should help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. He said, God, we need help because the faithful fail from among the children of men. In 2017, it's not just our church, but you can look across the realm of Christianity as a whole, and you'll find out that pastor after pastor struggles with it. Church after church would tell you, testimony after testimony, that so-and-so used to be in church, so-and-so used to be faithful. Our church used to be full on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but they do this now, but they got ball games, but they got this, but they got this excuse. I promise you, church, if you're looking for an excuse not to be faithful, the devil will provide you one every time. Some people look for excuses, and some people look for a way, and God will make a way. When we think about faithful or faithfulness, many times we can think about this. Faithful to be continuing despite circumstances. To be committed despite conflicts or criticism. To be devoted despite distractions. To be dependable despite the duty. To be steadfast despite sacrifice. To be firm despite fickleness of others. To be ongoing despite opposition. To be ardent despite adversity. To be enduring despite endangerments. To be truthful despite the trouble. To be resolute despite risk or restrictions, and to be constant despite crises. It's to be faithful, to be dependable, to be one that others can place confidence on and in. We live in a day where too many Christians have what I call a convenient Christianity and commitment, which is really not a commitment at all, and it may not be Christianity at all. They are faithful so long as it is safe, so long as it is comfortable for them, so long as it costs them nothing. They will continue as long as it's popular and as long as it's applauded. But when those oppose or opposition arise, they're not faithful. Thus, they were never faithful at all. In Numbers 12, verse number 7, we find this about the man Moses. God said, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. God spoke to Moses directly and clearly through not visions and dreams, but face to face. God spoke to Moses. Because Moses was faithful, God could count him faithful. Did I tell you something? If you want to know some things from God, if you want God to speak into your life, if you want God to use you, learn to be faithful. Be faithful. To build upon or to support. To foster it. The word faithful is a picture of the foster as a parent or a nurse. Figuratively, to render firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet, to be morally, to be true, or to be certain. Webster said this of the word faithful. Webster said, faithful means firm in adherence to truth and the duties of religion. Firmly adhering to duty, of true fidelity, loyal, true to allegiance as a faithful subject. Constant in the performance of duties or services. Exact in attending to commands as a faithful servant. Observant of compact treaties, contracts, vows, or other engagements. True to one's word. Constant, not fickle, true, worthy of belief. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need. We need some faithful people. Years ago, I remember hearing the story about Richard Petty. I'm not saying Richard Petty's a great Christian. I don't know nothing about the man in his spiritual life. But Richard Petty was raised never to sign a contract for his
his sponsors, he would always shake the hand of the man. And he was taught that, listen, your handshake is your word. It's your bond. Can I say that ought to be the same of a churchgoer? That ought to be the same of a Christian. The Christian ought to be a man of his word. The Christian ought to be someone, if they say they're going to be there, they're there. If they say they're going to do it, they're going to do it. And if God says do it, they do it. They're faithful because they're God's child. Faithful. The faithful have always been the minority, but that's why they're so needed and so noteworthy. That's why we look at Moses. That's why we look at David. That's why we look at Daniel, because these men were faithful and God used them. The Bible has much to say about faithfulness. The Bible has much to say about faithfulness. In Psalm 1, 1 through 3, we would see, and in Joshua 1, 8, where the Bible links faithfulness to the Word of God. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's planted there. He's not wavering. He's not moved. He's planted by the rivers of waters. It bringeth forth his fruit in his season. See, he was faithful, and it led to him being fruitful. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosper because of his faithfulness, because he's planted in the right place. Joshua 1:8, God said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then, shalt thou have good success. Faithfulness in the Word of God brings fruitfulness. We most of the time as Christians, when we think of faithfulness, most of the time we think of church attendance. We think of church attendance when we mention this word faithfulness. No doubt church attendance is part of faithfulness, no doubt. If one's not willing to sit in the services, they are not worthy and they are not going to be faithful to serve in the service. A soldier that doesn't show up for basic training is not going to do much good on the front line. I'm reminded of George Washington, our first president of this great nation. They said that George Washington, even when he was president, on the day of the Lord, when visitors or family would be at his house visiting him, when it come time to worship, George Washington would invite them to go with him or excuse himself and tell them he would return and he would be faithful to the house of God at worship time. However, faithful involves more than church attendance. As Christians, we ought to be faithful in every area of our life. Ask yourself this question. Am I just faithful to my church? Or maybe it's like this. Am I even faithful to my church? Or am I faithful to my God? In every area and aspect of my life. Are you faithful to God? Hey, sir, if you're faithful to your God, you'll be faithful to your wife. Ma'am, if you're faithful to your God, you'll be faithful to your husband. If you're faithful to your God, you will be faithful to your church. You'll be faithful to your duties. It starts with being faithful to God. Are you faithful? Are you a faithful person? Psalm 101, listen to this. Psalm 101:6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Speaking here of a faithful matter, or a faithful tongue, he's willing to keep some things down. Proverbs 13:17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is held. Proverbs 14:15. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Proverbs 25:13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. An enemy will stick his hand on your back, tell you how good you are when you're not good. But a friend who's faithful and he loves you, he'll tell you when you're wrong. He'll rebuke you openly because open rebuke is better than secret love. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we need to learn to be faithful in every area of our lives. And I'll give you three reasons this morning real quick why faithfulness matters. Why should I be faithful? The first one will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 if you want to write it down or look there. But number one, faithfulness is required by God. Faithfulness is required by God. 1 Corinthians 4 verse number 2. Moreover, it is required of in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, 2, the word required, it means that to seek in order to find. To seek, to require, to demand, to crave, to demand something from someone. So he said, that which God is requiring, that which God is seeking for, that which God is craving and demanding and commanding, that thing which God is requiring is for you to be faithful. The idea here of faithful is, once again, trustworthy, trustful, faithful, sure, true, trusty. Persons who show themselves faithful in transactions of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. They are worthy of trust and thus can be relied upon. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what God requires of you and I as His servants. God doesn't require us to be famous. God doesn't require us to be rich. God doesn't require us to be good looking. Some of you be have no hope. God requires of stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man who is serving him, that a woman who is serving him, that one who is his child, that they can be dependent upon, that they will execute his commands, that they will carry out his duties, that they will conduct the business that he's put them in a well-sought manner that is worthy to be saved. They are faithful. They can be depended upon. I can set my clock on them. I can take their word for it. They are faithful. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. How many of you would trust your money with somebody that didn't show up when they were supposed to be at work? How many of you would trust your family with someone that you didn't know if they'd show up somewhere when they told you that they would show up somewhere? No, you're looking for somebody you can take their word for. You're looking for somebody you can depend upon. You don't want to put confidence on a broken tooth. You don't want to put all your weight on a foot that's out of joint. God says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's not recommended, it's required. Amen. It's not requested, it's required. Are you listening? Amen. Faithfulness matters. To be faithful matters. Because it is required of God. Secondly, faithful matters. To be faithful matters because it is a reflection of God. It is a reflection of God. We go through scriptures, and I'll read a few here in a moment, and we'll find one great truth throughout the Bible, and this is it. God is faithful. God is faithful. Now, you and I, we are called Christians, or Christ-like, little Christ. Because the world around us, they do not see Jesus Christ. But they see those who name the name of Christ. They watch us. They testify of our lives. They see how we live. And they know what we are. And so our lives are to be representations of who our God is to us. And God is faithful. So we just go back in Deuteronomy chapter number 7. The Bible said, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Isaiah 49:7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to Him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and He shall choose thee. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of God are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8,
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't change. Jesus is the same. He's faithful, 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 faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul said, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13, but note, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Hey, in time of temptation, God's faithful. In time of trials, God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation 1:14, and unto the angel of the, or 3:14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 19:11, when Jesus is fixing to come back and is in the, hey, listen, I'm telling you, He's mounting the white horse and His army behind it. The Bible said, John said, I saw a heaven open and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon Him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. Ladies and gentlemen, church of the Almighty God, I'm telling you this morning, our God is faithful, our God is dependable, our God is trustworthy, our God can be depended upon. I'm telling you, when we exhibit faithfulness, we are exhibiting a godly, Christ-like characteristic and attribute. Amen. Faithfulness matters. Faithfulness matters. When people see your Christian life, do they see the characteristics of Christ exhibited in your life? Are you faithful? Faithfulness is required by God. Faithfulness is a reflection of God. And thirdly, faithfulness is rewarded by God. Faithfulness is rewarded of God. Psalm 31:23 says, O love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Did you hear that? The Lord preserveth the faithful. It pays to serve God. It pays to be faithful to God. I think about, if you want to look in Luke 16, I was thinking about the unjust steward. In Luke 16, there is the parable of the unjust steward. And many have been confused for years. Why did God commend an unjust man? He wasn't commending him being unjust as a man. He's commending him in his faithfulness as a steward. In Luke 16, verse 10 through 13, He said, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In this passage, Jesus is teaching us that the one who is not faithful in the small earthly matters of money, they cannot be trusted with more weightier matters like spiritual riches or spiritual responsibilities. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary of years gone by, he said, if we are faithful to God in little things, we shall gain experience and strength that will help us be helpful to us in the more serious trials of life. And I say, if you're not faithful with a plunger, you'll never be faithful in a pulpit. A young preacher went to great preacher of days gone by, F.B. Meyer, and said, "Dr. Meyer, how can I one day become influential and well-known as like you are?" And Dr. Meyer responded and said, "Don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities which may never come, but rather faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention." There's people that says, "You know, if God would allow me, I would do this," but they're not doing what God would allow them now. God's not going to allow you to pastor a church if you can't even come to Sunday school. God's not going to allow you to run a business if you can't even show up to work on time. God's not going to allow you to be rich financially. And you say, "Well, if I was rich, I would tithe." I've heard people say, "Well, if I had $2 million, I'd tithe on it." You're not tithing on $20. You won't tithe on $2 million. Learn to be faithful in the small things. We got ideas as big things and all this. No. Everything that God wants you to do is a big thing. Just note it down, it's a big thing. If it's sweeping the floor, if it's washing the parking lot, if it's mowing the yard, if it's cleaning the bathroom, if it's washing the nursery. Hey, listen, if it's being a greeter at the door in the service of God, there is nothing little. It all matters. Learn to be faithful no matter what you're doing. "Well, I won't go to church today. They won't miss me." Yes, they will. You need your church, and not only that, your church needs you. Be faithful. Learn to be faithful. Not only do I see faithfulness taught in the unjust steward, but in Matthew 25, if you want to turn there, I'm going to read a few verses in Matthew 25, and we see faithfulness rewarded in the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Believe it or not, I'm almost done, so don't tune me out. You don't want to miss the end. There's the parable of the talents. In Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30, we see talents are given. In verse 15 and 17, in verse 18, he mentions money. This money is a reference and a symbolic of the abilities that a man is given. Let's read this to you. Some of you may have never read it. Verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven, there's a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants, delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Somebody said, "Well, God's not fair. He only gave me 1 and he gave him 5. No, God was fair. He gave them all something. Amen. "To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 16, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he invested. He used what God had given it, and God blessed it and made it double. Verse 17, "And likewise, he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. So he did the same thing, just like the other guy. He invested. He used it wisely. He was faithful with what he had. God blessed it and doubled it. But, verse 18, "He that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with him." What is he saying? This guy, he says, "Well, I ain't got a whole lot, so I'm just going to wait till I get something big. I ain't going to use this." Verse 19, "And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gained beside them 5 talents more.'" And watch verse 21. "His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord.'" Verse 22, "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside.'" Verse 23, "His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, went, hid the talent in the earth. Lo, that is thine.'" Verse 26, "His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not,
and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Cast ye the unprofitable servant out of darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This parable of the talents, we find here that the rewards are based upon faithfulness. The talents are given in verses 15 and through 17. But then the rewards are given when the Lord returns. Verse 21 and verse 23, you will find that the first two had different abilities. One had 5. One had 2, but both were faithful. And because of their faithfulness, both received the same reward. You've been faithful over a few, I'll make you ruler over many. Verse 26. The third man had only been given one. Yet he had the same opportunity to be faithful like the first two. But he wasn't faithful. He was slothful. He was sluggish. The reward of being faithful over a few things is just the same as being faithful over many things, but will be forfeited by being faithful over nothing. You say, I don't have the talent this person has. I don't have the ability. I don't have the opportunity. Here's the question. Are you faithful with what you do have? Are you faithful with what you can do? Are you at church when you can be? Do you give and be a faithful steward with what God has given you? Do you work? Do you serve the Lord in the ability that God has given you? Are you faithful with what you have been trusted? And if you haven't been, our text says you're like a broken tooth or like a foot out of joint. Moses was faithful, Hebrews 3:5. David was faithful, 1 Samuel 22:14. Some of the saints in Ephesus and Colossae were faithful, Ephesians 1:1 and Colossians 1:2. Tychicus was faithful in Ephesians 6:21 and Colossians 4:7. Onesimus was faithful in Colossians 4:9. Paul was faithful, 1 Timothy 1:12. Silvanus or Silas was faithful, 1 Peter 5:12. Antipas was faithful in Revelation 2:13. Ladies and gentlemen, it can be done. You can be faithful with the help and the grace of God. You may not be famous. You may not be financially set. But you can be faithful. One thing that every Christian can be is faithful. And it will be worth it to be faithful. It's worth it now. But it will be worth it to be faithful. One of the most tragic events during Ronald Reagan's presidency was a Sunday morning that the terrorists bombed the Marine barracks in Beirut. Some of you remember that. Hundreds of Americans were killed and wounded while they slept. Many of us can still recall terrible scenes across television sets of dazed survivors trying to dig themselves out, trapped brothers from beneath the rubble of that bombing. A few days after the tragedy, I recall coming to an extraordinary story. Marine Corps Commander Paul Kelly, he visited some of the wounded survivors in Frankfurt, Germany, in a hospital there for the soldiers. And among these soldiers that he visited, there was a man that was Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nashton. I'll never forget this story. Jeffrey Nashton was severely wounded in this incident. He had witnesses say so many tubes running in and out of his body
that he looked more like a machine than he did a man lying there. And as Commander Kelly walked by Nashton, he noticed that Nashton was struggling to move. He was racked with pain, but he motioned for a piece of paper and a pen. And as they gave him the pen and the paper, Jeffrey Lee Nashton, his body severely wounded, looked like a machine. He wrote a brief note on this paper and he passed it back to the commander. And on the flip side of that paper were two words. The commander flipped over that paper and read these two words, Semper Fi. Semper Fi, short for Semper Fidelis. It's a Latin word. In the English, it means this, forever faithful. Those two words Nashton spoke or wrote on that piece of paper were for the millions of Americans who had sacrificed their bodies, their limbs, their lives for their country, and those who had remained faithful forever. Nashton said, Semper Fi. I've had my body bombed. I've been burnt. I've been cut. I have been destroyed physically. But I am still faithful. I will be faithful forever. Can I say something? As a church of Jesus Christ, we can learn a lesson from Jeffrey Nashton and others like him. That not only for the United States military, the United States of America, would we say, Semper Fi, but for the God of heaven and for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us and bought us and purchased us with His own blood. May we be dependable. May we not be a broken tooth. May we not be a foot out of joint. May we be faithful. May we be one that confidence can be placed upon. May we be people that can be dependent upon. May we be at church when it's time to be at church. Give when it's time to give. Do what we can do. May we, as Christians, be faithful forever. Semper Fi for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful. It matters. Father, take the message. Do for us what only You can do. We'll thank You for everything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to come, you come. God spoke to your heart. You mind the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never been saved. You've never been saved. God spoke to your heart this morning. You need to be saved. God wants to save you. Maybe you're here this morning.